Good morning, Femme Radio. This is your host, Melissa Goncalves. Thank you so much for joining us on this gloomy Monday here in New York. It is November 23rd, and let me tell you, it's so much harder to wake up in the morning when there's no sun piercing through the windows and it's just darkness. It legitimately looks like it's nighttime outside. So today's going to be a rough day just because of that. It's definitely one of those don't get out of bed, stay wrapped up in your blankets type of days. But, you know, it's Monday, so we got to get after it. No one's going to do this work for us. So you got to wake up, put your brave face on, and get shit done. Simple as that. So this episode will be short and sweet. I've missed recording solo episodes, so I'll be trying to do that more consistently. But I'm super excited for some of the future guests that I'm going to be having on Femme Radio. Obviously, solo episodes are so much easier because I could just record them myself. Like right now, I'm recording at 7 a.m. I'll probably have this edited and pieced together by 8:30, and then I'll have it live for you before half of you even wake up, which is fantastic. But I'm going to be looking to do some more of these guest episodes throughout the rest of the year. So I have some really great guests, Alyssa Monroe of Megan Monroe, Lauren Cruz of The Body Department, New Jersey, Kimberly Brophy of Love Kimberly, Esther Wallace of the Playa Society, and so many more. So I'm still deciding on whether I want to release those episodes, still continued to be bi-weekly, or if I want to just, you know, crank them out through the rest of the month of December and start 2021 on a fresh note, because those episodes are really, really good. So I feel kind of bad that I'm keeping them from you guys. Esther and I actually still have to record, so I'm sure we're going to be getting that done in December, which is going to be fantastic. So I'm super excited for that. So I figured I'd start this Thanksgiving week off with a few things that I'm grateful for. I know with Thanksgiving just a few days away, I figured this would be sort of a good way to get all of you thinking about what you're giving thanks for this year. And I know from my perspective, this year has been really, really tough. There have been so many things that have challenged us, challenged certain people's ideals, sort of made them rethink how they feel about life, how they feel about other people. I know COVID was a huge, huge factor, especially as a New Yorker, just in dealing with the absolute chaos that was March through May, right? And then continuing to deal with the additional effects of what that has resulted in. So I know for me, it's been quite interesting to sort of understand the varying personalities of people that I know, as far as who is paying attention to the regulations, who is kind of just, you know, who has COVID fatigue, right? I don't think anyone necessarily doesn't think COVID is real, but I think people are just tired, right? They're tired of having to stay indoors. They're tired of not being able to see their friends. And it's sort of led to them making some mistakes and some things that, you know, they probably wouldn't have done otherwise. So it's interesting to me for that. And then, of course, with the murder of George Floyd and how that has challenged so many people's ideals. And I do think as sort of a bright light of 2020, that moment in history really made people think about what they really believe in and why they have believed that way. And I've seen so many people just right before my eyes, their perception change and their ideas change and the way they view the power of police change. And truly, whatever side of the tracks you stay on, I think that everybody was impacted by that in some way or another. And that was, just ultimately a very, very big deciding factor. And it was sort of a tipping point in racial justice for this year. And then, of course, the biggest thing of all, the election, right? Just the damn election, which has been something that we have not been able to stop talking about for probably 4 years. And I was hoping that, you know, once this election was over and Joe Biden had won, that we could move on with our daily lives and stop talking about it as much. But it seems as though That's just not going to be the case. So we'll continue to discuss that. But I figured with all of, you know, those three major items in 2020, and, you know, and it's so funny when I look back and I look at my my 2019 going into 2020 goal book and things like that, the things that I was trying to achieve, it's just funny how when you plan, you really have no idea of any of the outlying factors that could possibly happen. I mean, how many business owners were thinking about COVID, right? I mean, no, none of us. And it was a thing back in October, November, December, January. We just weren't thinking about it here in the States. So I know a lot of people overseas, they were getting introduced to COVID a lot sooner than we did. So they were not necessarily they were able to plan, but that they were able to maybe understand that that would impact their 2020 just a bit more. I feel like for us here in the States, we didn't really get to know COVID on a deep level until March or April. So things that I am grateful for, and these are going to be sort of random, kind of somewhat funny, but the first is self-awareness. So 2020 has taught me that not everyone has self-awareness, and it's quite frustrating to deal with people who do not have self-awareness. When you are not self-aware, you are a very frustrating person, very frustrating person. So now self-awareness is described as a conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires. And there have been so many things that have happened in 2020, from COVID to the racial injustice, to being at the tipping point, to the election. And now there are so many things that drive us insane and so much pressure that we face from others without without a sense of self-awareness. So with all of those things compounded, you could really lose yourself in the mix of all these opinions and all these critiques, all these negative thoughts. And it really becomes frustrating because the people that are critiquing you and giving you these negative thoughts are not actually self-aware with their own lives. So they're sharing with you all of their negative thoughts and opinions when at the end of the day, they might just be reflecting their own poor judgments on you. So I might not always make the best decisions or the decisions that you would make, or the decisions that you would support. But I am always making decisions with my feelings, my motives, and my life at top of mind. And I know myself and I know my intentions. And truthfully, that's enough for me. So I'm very grateful that although I still get unbelievable amounts of anxiety, my self-awareness and my understanding of who I am as a person is at the top. It's the highest it has ever been. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what I offer others. I know what I provide. And I know what you offer me. So for me, I'm grateful that I have self-awareness in 2020. And I really, really, really wish that some of y'all would get some, because it is quite frustrating to have to deal with you guys and to either keep my mouth shut to avoid problems or to, you know, just keep on pushing along, because unfortunately, I don't get paid to be your educator. So I just have to take my seat and go along with the punches. But please, self-awareness for 2021 should be some of your resolutions, I assure you. Number two, I'm giving thanks in the number two spot. I mean, this is really in no particular order, but I'm giving thanks specifically to all of my COVID conscious friends and my non-COVID conscious friends who put zero pressure on me to do the things that they are doing or are not doing. So thank you to the friends that I have out there who actually don't make me feel like a psychopath because my boyfriend and I choose to stay in, be smart, and not contribute to the spread of this fucking virus. So thank you very much to all of my friends who put zero fucking pressure on me to do shit and just, you know, enjoy my company when I send memes and have funny things to contribute to conversations, or when I set up Zoom sessions to chat. So appreciation goes out to you. You guys get pretty much all of my thanks this year, because you do not contribute to my mental illness. And for those of you that do, well, we'll talk some other time. Number three, on a more of a light note, is my Lord and Savior, Amanda's Macaroon Shop. So it seems that in moments of stress or, you know, even in moments of fun, obviously, these macaroons always seem to light up a room. They're an icebreaker, they're a fun gift, they're a cool addition to a party, and absolutely delicious. So this is obviously not sponsored, but please do yourselves a favor and go to amandasmacaroonshop.com because these are the best macaroons I've ever had. They're truthfully the first macaroons I've had, and I thought one day, like, oh, you know, I'm just gonna go buy some macaroons from this other place. I'm sure they all taste the same. Oh my God, I can't believe I thought that. But hers are leaps and bounds so much better than literally everyone else's. And she has seasonal flavors. Right now, her fall flavors are killing it. I just had some at my brother's wedding a few days ago. I brought them to the bridal suite. And when I tell you they were a hit, they were a freaking hit. So when in doubt, if you have something that's coming up, order from Amanda's Macaroon Shop, and you are definitely going to be the life of the party just for bringing these things in. They're so beautiful and so tasty. Number four, of course, I think it goes without saying, very, very grateful for my parents. My mother and I have this thing where we talk every single night. So if I don't call her, she'll be like, oh, you forgot about me. But if I don't call, you know, if she doesn't call me, I'll do the same thing to her. So it's quite funny, but I'm very, very grateful in these times that, you know, I have parents that make an effort and that truly are supportive and understanding of things. I think at this point in time, my parents also are sort of at that age, and they're very old school, but they're at that age where they're like, you know, COVID is COVID, but like, what if something happens to me tomorrow? And then you haven't seen me in months, right? So they get a little like annoyed, you know, they wish I would just get over it. And they wish that I would just come home and not worry about things. But it's hard. It's hard for me to not worry about something that could potentially kill them with all of their underlying health conditions and their age. And I know as parents, sometimes you just want to see your kids, so you don't really think about the stresses that they go through and sort of the things that are going through their heads. But I'm grateful that when I have to rant about something or have those deep conversations, that, you know, my mom's always on the other end of the phone listening. And even though she might not always agree in how I feel about things, she definitely understands that I'm an intelligent person and that my decisions are my decisions. And that, you know, unfortunately, she might hate how independent I've become, but she made me this way. So thank you, Mom. And number five, my boyfriend, Walter. So I'll keep this one short and sweet, but I don't think I ever quite realized how important it is to have a supportive partner like I have this year. I don't think I ever realized what support from a significant other really felt like until this year. And it's mostly obviously because of all the challenges that we faced as humans. But more so than that, it's just, it means everything to have someone who is an unbiased source of wisdom, support, advice, someone who knows that you just need a sounding board rather than a feedback machine. That to me is important because I could just talk and talk and talk. And sometimes I'm not really just looking, you know, I'm not looking for your advice or your input, but I'm more so just looking for you to sit there and let me talk. And I think that that's something that a lot of us need and a lot of us don't have, because it's hard to not give your feedback, right? Especially when you feel like your partner's not being respected or, you know, being spoken to kindly or being acknowledged in the right way, and they're venting to you about it. It's hard for you to not voice your feedback in support of them and sort of helping them to speak up for themselves. But it's something that I very, very much respect, because that's who I am as a person, is just, I need to get things off my chest so I can get over them. And Walter, you have had my back and I really appreciate you. And I honestly don't know where in the world I would be right now if I did not have you these past couple of months, especially. And I'm just also thankful that we're always on the same page. So thank you very much for being you. Now, on to some fun things. So if you've been paying attention to the Instagram page, you'll know that we just launched merch. a second drop. This is our second drop at Femme Radio and Femmetrepreneur. And this drop is obviously my favorite. It's only right that the most recent drop is going to be your most favorite drop. But I love this one for a multitude of reasons. And the primary reason being that I worked with one of my good college friends, Alyssa Nardone, on this. So it's the first. So to go back, the first launch that I ever did, which was over the summer, I believe it was like early June, I worked with another friend from college, Christy Freer, to design the logos and the imagery that you saw on the shirt. So, you know, the Femmetrepreneur, the This Girl Can, all those various imageries she designed. So, and it was ultimately going to be the stuff that we would put on the merchandise. And I really wanted to. It was my goal to launch a physical product in 2020, so I'm happy that I was able to do it. But when I was looking at websites and looking for feedback and reading reviews, it seemed like the easiest and most cost-effective way for me to be able to do this in that first round was to go through a site that would manufacture and ship direct to consumer. And what I found was a site called teespring.com. So teespring.com. And what they have is essentially a stock of hoodies, sweaters, leggings, you know, various merchandise items. They have like beach towels, phone cases. And with them, they allow you to set up a storefront online, like an e-commerce storefront, sort of like a Shopify or an Etsy. And you can link that store on your Instagram page, and it will take the users there so that they could purchase. And then after you purchase, it gets shipped directly to the consumer. So as a business owner, you can design your merchandise on that site, and then you ship it to the consumer. And there are ways for you to order samples and things like that, but obviously you do have to pay for them. So I did not order samples of every single thing that I designed, but this was the perfect way to sort of get the initial merch launch off the ground, because I do ultimately want to have a consistent merchandise store. I would like to have that. I do love the concept of having a physical product and having people wear things that have your business name on them. I love that. But I wanted to make sure I did it in the most budget-friendly way possible. So this was sort of the best way to see if there was even something there, right? Would people buy it? Is there a proof of concept? You know, which items do people like the most? So that was the best way to launch it for me. So the pros are that I saved money, right? I saved money. I didn't have to do any of the initial shipping. So I was able to understand, you know, what the volume would be like of orders. The cons, I would say, is probably the personal aspect that was removed. I didn't really get to connect with the end consumer. I didn't get to like throw any, you know, thank you cards into the packages or anything like that. So, and I feel like that's kind of like the most fun right now of being a small business owner, is being able to connect with the people who purchase your products. And I just felt like I couldn't really do that as much with this method of shipping. And then another con is that I really didn't get to QA each piece. So a lot of the times that I saw an item for the first time as a physical product was when someone would share it on Instagram. And a lot of the stuff I wasn't 100% excited about, right? I would see one item and I'd be like, oh, that looks cute. But if I had seen that, I would have done it differently. And that was the biggest issue for me, is that I want to make sure, you know, people are spending money on things that I've created, and I want it to be the best thing that they can buy. And I just felt like I could have done better in that area. So with this second launch, I knew I wanted it to be a bit more personal, and I wanted to have more of a physical connection with the product. So I know it's a lot of hard work to ship things out, but I did want final ownership on the items that people would be receiving. I didn't want anyone to get something that I hadn't actually put my hands on and seen firsthand myself. So when I was actually thinking about my next launch over the summer, my friend Alyssa Nardone of Dyed New York coincidentally reached out to me and asked if I wanted to collaborate on a project. So she had just started Dyed New York. So you could follow them on Instagram at Dyed New York. That's DYED_New York. And she reached out to me, asked if I wanted to collaborate. And it's funny because I had been seeing some of the pieces that she was creating. And I was like, oh, wow, these are amazing. These are so dope. I would love to incorporate this into my next launch. So it just kind of worked out that we were both thinking the same way. So originally I did want to launch more items, but I'm still trying to be smart with spending on certain merch items, considering it can be rather costly to dive into this sector of the business. And I don't have a home right now. I just have an apartment. So I didn't want boxes of inventory just sitting everywhere waiting to be purchased. So this was definitely I was like, okay, we're going into fall. So let's do hoodies. Let's do crew neck sweaters. We were going to do long sleeve shirts, but I really wanted to be under a certain number price-wise when I was ordering. So this was the best way to do that. So the second time around, I looked back at some of the creative that Christy Freer with Creations with Chris had designed for me back in the summer. And I decided that I really loved the This Girl Can logo. I loved that imagery because to me, that truly embodies the femtrepreneur spirit, which is that you can do anything. You know, this girl can, period. That's it. You know, she can do whatever she wants. This is her, you know, if that's her dream, if that's what she sets her mind to, that is what she plans on achieving. And that is what I wanted to incorporate as a pillar item in this second launch. And along with that, I had a conversation with one of my friends, Jack Mackey, shout out to you. And he mentioned that when we did our inequality hoodies over the summer, that the part on the front where it just said end it, period, ended up being a conversation starter. So when he would wear that on calls with clients or on calls with even his coworkers, they'd be like, oh, end it. And what does that mean? And then it would sort of open the lane for him to be able to have those discussions when it was more brought into on a casual basis. Like, oh, what does end it mean? Well, actually, this is part of a broader conversation about, you know, ending racial injustice, right? Ending racism, ending these, you know, essentially ending white supremacy, for lack of a better word, right? So that to me really got my mind going because I started to think, what can I put out there that will be a conversation starter? And I felt like This Girl Can would be really great, you know, because even as a male, you know, if you wear a shirt like this, it's a conversation starter. And that gives you that entry point to be able to have those conversations with other males, right? Other male identifying people or people who maybe don't understand gender and gender issues, right? So I thought that was that was definitely the one piece I knew for certain that I wanted to do. But then I also wanted to do something that maybe wasn't so gender conforming, right? You know, we have This Girl Can, which I feel really proud about, but I wanted to do something that didn't feel so tied to a gender. And that's where Ambitious came in. So Ambitious came in, I actually designed that myself a few months back. I was playing around in Photoshop trying to see how I could build, you know, a font and use a font to, you know, create some sort of logo or image, and Ambitious came up. And for me, that was just a great word that described any femtrepreneur, right? You have to have ambition. You got to be a go-getter. You have to have some type of motive to get to the top or to get to where your goal is, right? Maybe you're, you know, not even trying to climb the ladder. Maybe you're just trying to stay afloat, right? But you have to be ambitious. That is the underlying definition of a femtrepreneur. So that's how those two design concepts came through for us. And then I ended up working with a local small business owner, Joe at Sparkles Corp. Joe, thank you so much. Your help was second to none, top tier assistance. He was so great. I literally loved working with him. He helped me choose the product, what would work best for my brand. And I was able to ultimately expedite those hoodies and sweaters because, you know, let me remind you, Alyssa and I spoke about this like in the summer and we didn't launch until the 21st of November. So, and that's because I was so backlogged on finding the designs, thinking about what I was looking for as far as like the logo and the imagery goes. It took me so long to really just decide. I felt like I was asking for so many opinions, right, from my internal circle. And then I kind of just got to the point where I was like, you know what, do what you're comfortable with, do what you essentially feel proud of. Because this is going to be your launch. So at the end of the day, if it's successful, take ownership of the success. If it's not successful, take ownership of, you know, what you did to make it not successful. So I ended up just going with my gut and then producing this this final product, which was This Girl Can and Ambitious. So Joe at Sparkles Corp, which was the screen printer, helped to print all the hoodies and the sweaters. And then the final step was the tie-dye and bleach dye portion, which my friend Alyssa Nardone of Dyed New York handled. She'll be on a future episode of Femme Radio to actually discuss her 9-to-5. And then she'll also speak to the dyeing portion because it's incredibly time intensive. And I cannot do it the justice that it deserves. That was not my wheelhouse, not the strength that I have. That was definitely all her. So that being said, again, make sure you give her a follow at Dyed New York. And I keep saying it like that, but it's Dyed _ New York. So it's at D-Y-E-D _ New York on Instagram. They do custom designs and work incredibly hard at this craft. So give them a follow. They really do such a great job. Okay. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, Thanksgiving is coming up and most people will want to be around their families. So I'm going to leave you with a few of my thoughts, concerns, and we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I strongly encourage that you get tested prior to seeing your families. And I know that the rapid test is, you know, easier, right? And just you don't have to wait 2 days, but I strongly encourage you to actually do the PCR, the PCR version.
I've taken about 3 PCR tests. So I've done 3 of the mail away ones. And then I took a rapid test on a Thursday afternoon. And from what I've read in various different publications, it seems like the rapid test is really only effective of telling you if you have COVID, if you're so sick already. So if you're already registering symptoms, then the rapid test is okay. But I recommend the one that, you know, comes back with results in 2-3 business days or 3-5 business days, whatever it might be, because it just seems to be a little bit more effective in the publications that I've read. And I know that a lot of the rapid tests are coming back with false negatives, false positives. Regardless, I think getting tested in general is necessary. So if you do the rapid or, you know, the PCR version, as long as you're getting tested, I'm happy for you, but just make sure that you're still aware of the symptoms you're experiencing, who you've been around before, and that you're keeping, you know, open dialogues with those people that you are surrounding yourselves with so that they can make educated choices based on whether they want to see you or not based on the things that you have actually been doing. So if you are like me, and you have had the privilege to work remotely, then you should be self-quarantining leading up to the holidays so that you can ensure that your negative test result is just that, negative, right? If I was home, which I'm home every day, but if I was home for a week and a half and I tested negative, then I would be like, okay, you know what? I'm probably okay to be around family because I haven't seen anybody in a week and a half. I took a test, it said negative, so I think I'm okay. However, a lot of you, even ones that do have the privilege to work remote, have been out and about like there's no fucking global pandemic. And I get it. Live your life. Do whatever the hell you want. But have some common decency to know that if you're going to be around people for the holidays, that those people deserve the right to know that you are not taking things seriously. And it really is simple logic. So the cases are going up drastically right now. So the likelihood that you are in a room, that you're standing next to someone who possibly has COVID or has come into contact with COVID, is significantly higher than it was in September or October. So if you are confused as to why it suddenly makes a big deal for us to be out and about, it's because the cases are going up. So the exposure rate, the percentage that you could possibly be exposed to COVID is so much higher right now. So it's really simple logic. And don't get me wrong, I completely understand that some of you don't think it's serious because the death percentage is low, or you compare it to the flu or other things, whatever. But regardless of whether or not you believe you're going to die from this, why would you want to have a 2-week illness that puts you in bed? And I'm talking people who are healthy, people who work out every day, people with no underlying health conditions, are bedridden with headaches that they cannot even describe to you. They're so bad. Muscle aches that prevent them from being able to walk back and forth. And not to mention that literally every person I know that has had coronavirus lost their sense of taste and smell. Most of which do not have that taste or smell still months later. Does that sound like something you want? Because I sure as fuck don't. I myself, again, will be staying at my apartment with my boyfriend. We are not going near anybody, and that's just what we've decided as a unit, because we've continued to make intelligent decisions during this entire global pandemic, which I cannot say for all of you. His mom is bringing us a full Thanksgiving spread, and we're literally doing it like a drop-off. She is dropping it off in a parking lot. We are picking it up, and we're not going near each other. Like, that is literally what we are doing. Frankly, my issues is with the people who think that if they wish this shit away, that it'll actually go away. You cannot just wish it away. That's like me literally having I just wish that I was 10 pounds lighter. Well, great, Melissa, that's really not doing anything for me now, is it? So frankly, you rebelling against an executive order like a 17-year-old who snuck out after their parents told them they couldn't go to a party is not going to get you freedom. It's going to get you grounded, which is literally what's going to happen if we shut down again. And then all those precious small businesses that you pretend to care about will be forced to shut down again instead of operating on modified schedules with regulations like they are now. So I understand your desperate need to want to be out and about living your life, but for the love of God, think about someone else. Think about anybody else. My biggest case of frustration is the people who think that their own parents don't care. So it's like, oh, I could do whatever I want because, you know, my parents don't care. You are supposed to be the intelligent one here. You are this generation. You have all of the world at your exposure. You have a phone that can look up literally anything on the internet. Educate your own damn parents about the severity of this shit, because we are trending towards another March, April, May right now. And the people that we already lost in March, April, May, we already lost them. So who the fuck are we going to lose this time around? Use your heads. A lost holiday in 2020 is worth it for having holidays for the rest of your life. So that's all for today. Use your heads. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Wear your masks, social distance, and enjoy yourselves this holiday season with the people that live in your households. Love you and goodbye. #GetFemmed.